Folks, this morning we're starting a new sermon series, and it's one that I'm really excited about, but it's also one that I believe can create a lot of tension in churches among some people. There's probably nothing in the world that gets a person fired up as quickly as when the subject of money is brought up pertaining to giving. Now, if you bring up money pertaining to savings, people are all in, they're in on that, but when you start talking about giving, people can just be distant with it. And so this morning, what I would do is I just want to walk through what the scriptures are talking about, what the Apostle Paul's talking about, because Paul brings up this issue of money and giving in the church. And what he does is he encourages this church in Corinth to be the kind of church he knows God wants them to be. And so we find ourselves in our final series in the book of 1 Corinthians this morning in chapter 16. And then at the end of November, we'll move into a Christmas series. But what we're going to look at this morning is what I believe the Apostle Paul is describing as a giving church. Boy, that's a good way to be identified, as a giving church. And so through this series, we're going to look at giving for 4 weeks. Now, does that mean we're going to talk about money for 4 weeks? No. Might it find its way into a sermon here and there? Yes. But we're going to talk about giving financially. That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to talk about giving in our stewardship and in our hospitality and in our encouragement and all the things that a church should be giving in. So let's just jump right in. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. And this is what the Apostle Paul writes to this church in Corinth. He says, "Now about the collection." So, I mean, you got to get to the point where you talk about the collection, don't you? I mean, if you don't, it ain't church, right? So Paul says, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do." So we'll be over in the book of Galatians sometime this morning. On the first day of every week, that's important. Each one of you, that's important. So these are things you can highlight, underline, circle, draw your attention to. So on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. That's important. We'll talk about what that is. Saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Verse 3. "Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me." That's all we're going to look at this morning. There's a whole lot in those four little verses, and probably more than you might imagine. But so why does Paul make this transition into this right here? Remember, he's been talking about our spiritual gifts, how we work together and we build up in unity and all this stuff. And now he transitions into this. And here's why, okay? So if you're filling in your blank, this first one. I believe it's because Paul sees giving as ministry. Giving is ministry. It is a part of our ministry. It's a part of who we are. It's our identity. It's what we do. The Apostle Paul has a huge heart for these churches in Jerusalem. And here's what I mean. Paul was asking a lot of churches to take up a collection to send to the church of Jerusalem. This church was encountering all kinds of persecution. They were going through all kinds of hardship. And when we're going through persecution, one of the things that we're really going to go through is a financial hardship. And so that's what was happening with this church in Jerusalem. They were going through a great financial hardship. And so Paul is encouraging all these Gentile churches, the church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, the church in Galatia, all these churches to work together to send support to the mother church, if you will, the church in Jerusalem that was encountering all this persecution. And so that encouraged them to do. So this is the picture, I believe, of what the church should be on a global scale. When you remember, when you are a member of the body of Christ, your concerns, your preoccupations have to expand beyond the walls of the building you sit in. They just have to. And for us, that means our concerns are for people all around the globe, not just people here in Macomb, Illinois, not just people in this worship center, but all around the globe. So this wasn't just for the church here in Corinth at this time. This is an idea, this is a principle that's for every church throughout the ages, no matter where you're located. That's what Paul is saying. And it reminds, and so Paul reminds them of the church in Galatia and how they were involved in this ministry as well. So over in Galatians chapter 2, verse 10, if you want to turn over there real quick, I'd encourage you to do that. He said, all they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I'd been eager to do all along. So there's that idea of giving again. Giving is ministry. And it takes on many different forms. It looks a lot different in every kind of way. Our giving ministers to people all around the world. Paul taught that every church he founded, he taught them to give because giving is ministry. Giving is not optional if you're a Christ follower. It's not optional. And we'll talk about that this morning. If you are a person who claims the blood of Jesus over your life, if you're a person who wants to surrender to the teaching and lordship of Jesus, now here's something I want to just clarify real quick. Then giving is not an option for you. But here's where I think the great fall is a lot of times in our churches, is that people want Jesus as Savior, meaning they want to be delivered from sin. They want to make sure that they've got their ticket stamped to get into heaven and to glory, but they don't necessarily want to make him Lord, which means while I'm here on this earth, I live exactly the way he tells me to live. And Jesus himself even tells us people are going to turn away because the way I'm calling you to live is not easy. It's called discipleship. You have to harness yourself. You have to come under the discipline of Christ. When you're yoked with Christ, as he describes it, he's the one in the lead. You're following. You're harnessed with him. But a lot of people want him as Savior, but not a lot of people want him as Lord. We want to be Lord over our own lives, and we just want Jesus to make sure we get the eternal glory. That's the way a lot of people approach their relationship with Christ. I hope that's not you. I don't believe that it is most of us in this room. There might be some of us because that's just the nature of man. We want what's good for us without having to do all the hard work, without the surrender, without the discipline. But Paul is reminding us that we have to surrender. Giving is not optional for a Christ follower. It is not optional. Every Christian should be giving. So as a church, we give, and our giving starts here at MACC. That's where our giving should start for every person in this room. It should start for this ministry here that you call your local church, your home church. As a matter of fact, we provide different ways for you to give. We provide you an opportunity to give tithes every week, but we also give you opportunities to give even in our community. So outside these walls, but in our community of Macomb and Colchester and Bushnell and Good Hope and all these surrounding places, we provide those opportunities. One of those is like these Thanksgiving baskets out here, okay? For some of us, I mean, we may think, well, really, how's that ministering people? I don't ever see people come to this church because they got a Thanksgiving basket. Maybe not yet. Has anybody ever come to Christ because of Thanksgiving basket? Maybe not yet. But maybe that generosity encouraged them to go to a different church. Who knows? Maybe that generosity encouraged them to look at Christians in a whole new light, because sometimes we have a bad rap, if you didn't know that. We sure do. So maybe it's helped with that. I don't know. But Paul says we continue to give to the needy, and so we do these Thanksgiving baskets every year. We do a Christmas Eve dinner every year, and the purpose of those aren't just to give out food. That's not the real purpose. I mean, there's a real need. And I think this year, there's going to be a lot of people. I know Tuesday, we already had over 120 people signed up for a Thanksgiving basket and a turkey. So we're going to need the donations from you good folks, you know, bringing in the groceries and turkey fund money and stuff like that so we can get that. But that's the way we give. That's the way we give to those who are in need. And like I said, this year's going to be tough for some folks. I mean, it just really is. And so if God's blessed you and you're able to do that, then step up and give in those ways. Or maybe you're one here this morning who might need that. hey, let us know. That's what the church is here for. We're not judging, but it's a way we do ministry. And it's something that we just feel like we've been called to do. That's been going on since before I was here, and I've been here 14 years. So this church has been doing that for a while. So good job. Let's keep it up. Let's continue to minister in our community that way. Another way is our Christmas Eve dinners. Now, like I said, it's not about the food. I mean, it's one meal. Is that really going to take care of somebody's hunger forever? No. But what's it do? There are a lot of lonely people who we take a dinner to, who we can spend time praying with. There are people on a prayer list that we've prayed for, you know, through this, and will continue to do so. There have been people who have come to this church because of that. So it's just another way that we minister. Those are ways that we legitimately minister in our community, and we give back because giving is ministry. Something some of you who are newer to our fellowship may not realize is that we as a church, Maple Avenue Christian Church, we tithe. Some of you may not know that. We started doing this many, many years ago. We got away from faith promise and we began the biblical mandate to tithe. So the way we do that, you may be asking, well, how do we do that? So the way we tithe is we tithe our annual budget. So we figure out kind of what our annual budget's going to be, and then we tithe the first 10%. That's what a tithe is. We'll talk about it later. But we take that first 10%, and that all goes to missions. Okay, so the very first 10% of everything this church gets, it goes to missions. That's our giving, you know, as a church. And in turn, it's blessed others, and it's blessed us, and you guys have been obedient to God in doing this, and so we've been able to increase our giving. And I just want to share with you some of the missions, some of the ministries that we're working with on a global scale, okay? So this is how giving is ministry globally. We give to a couple called Nathan and Lindsay Davenport. They work with Pioneer Bible Translators, okay? They live down in Dallas, Texas. Well, that doesn't sound global. Yeah, it is. Here's how. Because Nathan and Lindsay, they work as missionaries with this organization, and their job is to recruit people who can translate the Bible into other languages. That's a hard job because that's not something just anybody can do. So they travel all around to colleges and seminaries and Bible schools, all that stuff, and they recruit people to be a part of this ministry. Let me tell you how this really impacts people. And you guys have heard me talk about this couple before, and that's okay. I mean, God has done a great work in this life. But Chris and Lori Erton are a part of Pioneer Bible Translators, but they are translators. Nathan and Lindsay are recruiters. Chris and Lori Erton were translators in Papua New Guinea. And they were with a people called the Soap people. And the Soap people had no written language at all, none. So what Chris and Lori had to do is they first of all had to sit and work with people to get a written language for the Soap language, okay? It was a click and guttural kind of language. So they had to figure out how to come up with an alphabet, how to come up with words, how to describe all that. I mean, this is hard stuff. This is long enduring stuff. It took them over 20 years. They got the alphabet, they got the word, and then what they did is then they had to take the Greek New Testament, they had to translate it into the Soap language. And I shared with you guys a couple of years ago, I got to hold the first New Testament in the Soap language when I went to visit our missionaries, Nathan and Lindsay, who recruit people like Chris and Lori, who go into countries like Papua New Guinea, who work with people groups like the Soap people, who help them develop a written language so that people can come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. See, that's how our giving is ministry. Because we support them in that ministry, they're able to do that job. Giving's ministry also, and another way is with Amy Crowell. Many of you know Amy Crowell. She's been a part of this church family for a long time through missions. And Amy works with the Ahadi Boys in Nairobi. And Amy is so dedicated to those young men. She rescues boys off the streets. And she gives them a home so that they are safe, so that they are secure. There is a school that they can go to. They can gain an education, and they develop this hope in their hearts. And that's because giving is ministry. Our giving goes to support Amy and the Ahadi Boy ministry. We also give to Miosh and Rosie Rock in Pinon, Haiti. That's their hometown. And in Pinon, they have planted 2 churches there. They've also planted a school, and that school has over 260 students, almost 270 students in that school that are learning about Jesus. Why is that important? Why should I care about some school being planted down in Haiti? Well, here, let me tell you why. I've been there. And a lot of little kids get to eat one meal every other day. That's just the way it is. So when we, you know, get hangry, just remember, there's a whole country where people are hangry for 2 days before they get to eat. Now, that's not a guilt thing. Here's how giving is ministry. Because we give to them, the school they have provides a meal for them every day. That's a big deal there. That's doubling your nutritional intake. It's more than that because I think they get a breakfast and a lunch every day. That's awesome. So giving is ministry because if we can help expand that school, guess what? More kids get to go. But the reality is they have to be limited because they just can't do it for everybody because they don't have the financial resources. You have to pay teachers. I know we have teachers in this room. Would you go do your job for absolutely nothing? Probably not. Might be some of you. We have to help them with that. You know, books cost money. Food cost. Giving's ministry. It's just one of the ways that we give, and it's a ministry. World Mission Builders. That's another one that we work with, that we've taken on in our missions. And what a ministry. They help churches. They help get the word of God out because they build church buildings so people can come together, so they can worship together, so they can praise Jesus together. It's just one of those things. And keep those guys in prayer. Joe Wilson, many of you know Joe. You remember Joe. World Mission Builders came here and they helped us build this. This is the kind of ministry they do. This was the biggest project they'd ever done, was this building. And it's huge. I mean, just think if we were still in that other small room, we would be doing 5-6 services. We just would. We couldn't get 100 people in there the way we have to do it right now. So this is a huge blessing. And like I said, keep praying for them because Joe's passed away. And if you don't remember who Joe was, he was the guy who would go to the work, to the work, to the work. Get us going after lunch. So just keep World Mission Builders in your prayers, if you would. But we do all this because we as a leadership in Maple Avenue, we take seriously Jesus' command to go to the ends of the earth, to take the gospel as far as we can. We aren't all going to go to the ends of the earth physically. We're not all called to be missionaries, but we are all called to give. And as a church, we feel like our giving needs to go to our missionaries. And so that's why we tithe the first 10%. Now, I want to close this section here with this statement because giving really is ministry, and I don't want to miss this. So if you're here today and you're struggling financially, 2 things. First, I want you to know that we do have a benevolence ministry, and that goes to folks who are struggling. Now, it may not cover everything, but it's a way we can help. We also do a ministry called Minuteman. So if it's something above and beyond like a benevolence, you know, we do that 4 times a year. That's it. And as an eldership, we approve those, okay? We have to approve those, and then we go forward with that. But those are ways that we want to help. Second, maybe you just need to get your finances under control. Maybe you make enough, or maybe there's plenty there, but you have never gotten control of your finances, and your finances have control of you. Well, we want to help you establish biblical principles for your finances. And so we have folks in this church who are willing to sit down and help people plan out their finances. Because this is a big deal in God's eyes. This is called stewardship. We're commanded to be whole life stewards. Commanded. It's what we should do. So you can contact the church office for either one of those needs, okay? I need to move on. I spent, I think, a little more time there than I meant to, but that's okay. We'll keep going. Next, Paul says in our passage that giving is planned. Remember I asked you, I said, pay attention to that. He says on the first day of every week, Paul was giving them a plan. Now, I don't know that this plan is hard and fast. Paul is saying, plan your giving. So I don't think he's trying to take us into legalism to say you have to do it on the first day of every week. He's just saying, here's a plan. On the first day of every week, take up a collection. That's why churches today, on the first day of every week, Sunday, we take up a collection. You know? And we'll continue to do that. Some people, they give every week. I know my family and I, we give every week. Some people give every other week. That's fine. Some people give monthly. That's fine. I don't think Paul is trying to make this legalistic. What he's saying is, have a plan for your giving. Because if you're not planning your giving, then you're not going to be intentional about it. And so the point is, plan on giving. Make giving a priority in your financial life. Well, in your life, because you can't segregate it all out. We give, you know, and like I said, some of you give, we give at different times. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was telling me that one of the things he remembers so clearly from his childhood is that on Saturday nights, the TV would be shut off, and his parents would work on the Sunday school lesson, and then they would write out their tithe check, they would fold it over, and they'd place it on the corner of the kitchen table. And the first one out the door to church on Sunday morning, because they drove separately, they would grab the tithe check. That's planning. And that's teaching your children to give. That's planning. In our home, what we do is we put our cash in our giving envelope, and it sits on we have a black table in our living room. It's a picture table, and it sits there. And usually Kelly brings it over because somebody else forgets. And so she brings it, and that's the way we give. Now, you know, there's weeks that we walk by and we forget it, so we put it in the next week or we double up. But, I mean, the idea is that we plan on giving. It's the very first thing out of our gross income every week. I'm telling you that for me because I would be a hypocrite if I stood here and I wasn't doing that. So the very first thing out of our gross income is our tithe. That's our plan because that's God's teaching on that. But let me say this. If you aren't planning your giving, you're probably not being faithful. You're probably not being obedient to God's plan. If your giving is if your idea of giving is reaching in your pocket, pulling out what's in there, knocking the lint off and putting it in, that's not planned giving. Okay? And I'm not trying to be rude and ungrateful and all that. This is bigger. I'm not the one in charge of this. This is bigger. Okay? You're giving to God, and it should be planned. Just like you plan on coming to worship, or at least I hope you do. I hope you don't just roll out of bed and go, nothing to do, let's go. I hope it's planned, just like you're giving. Because if you're giving and it's not planned, it's probably guilt. And I'll just say, don't give out of guilt, okay? If your giving is motivated by guilt, then just keep it. God's word tells us in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that he wants cheerful givers. It should be exciting. And if it's not, pray about it. But it should be fun to think about, hey, here's what I'm giving. How can God use this and just put it in? God, use this however it is best for your kingdom. Planning helps us to become cheerful givers. We'll touch on this a little bit more. Let me move on. Paul says next, giving is personal. Paul excuses no one from this giving. No one person is excused from giving. Giving is the responsibility of every Christian, like I said earlier, even our children. Even our children. Some people may think we're nuts, but even when our kids were little bitty, and if they got cash for their birthdays, we would ask people to give them, you know, $1 bills. And then what we did, because we try to be intentional about this, we plan, is if they got, say, $20, we would teach them, your first $2, they need to go to God. Now, some of you are going, well, that's not income. It's increase. Yeah, it is. It's increase. They didn't have nothing, and now they got something. That's increase. You tithe. That's just what we've done. I'm not saying everybody has to do that, but boy, we've done it, and our kids now, they know. My boys now have a mowing business, and they mow about 14 yards, and you can talk to Bruce about that. That's not bad income for teenage boys. And they know their very first thing is to tithe. And so they tithe their income of what they get. And that's just what we do as a family. That's what we've taught. And that's what we're going to continue to teach. But we also teach them to save. We also teach them how to spend. Now, if all we did was teach them to save and to spend and we didn't teach them to tithe, we would not be good teachers for our children. And there's a lot of parents who teach save and spend, but they don't teach tithe. I was at the barbershop the other day, and there was a young man sitting in a chair. He takes one of Dr. Gray's class, Steve Gray. Many of you know Steve. We were just talking. I didn't know this kid from anybody, but he was talking about finances. And I don't know how it came up. And I said, well, young man, the very first thing you need to do is you need to tithe. I don't know this guy. I don't know if he's a Christ follower. I was like, you got to give it to God. He's like, give it to God. That's just the message as Christians we should be sharing. We just should be sharing that. So Jesus expects us as Christians to give, all Christians to give. Jesus said in Matthew 6:2, he said, so when you give, that's important, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. There's a whole lot here. But what I want to focus on for just a second is that Jesus assumes his followers will give. He just assumes you're going to give. He doesn't say if you give, he says when you give. He's teaching them that they are expected to give. Jesus doesn't say if, but when. Now, we often hear folks say, and I've heard this a lot, and maybe you've heard it too, well, tithing is one of those Old Testament things. They had to give, but it's not in the New Testament. Now, all we have to do is just give if we want to. Listen, this is clearly not Jesus' teaching on this. He expected all his followers to be givers. Christians will give and give generously. But here's the big question. Are you teachable on this? I said earlier, if you're given out of guilt, don't give. But if the Holy Spirit is convicting you, then be teachable. Be teachable on this. Are you being teachable? Are you giving generously? Or are you trying to come up with excuses not to give? See, if you set out a plan and you say, the very first thing that's coming out of my finances is my tithe, well, that's your plan. And then you figure out the rest. But you've got to be intentional. Next, Paul says this. Let me move on. Paul says, giving is proportional. Giving is proportional. Paul said, set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. What's that sound like? That sounds like proportional, doesn't it? So Paul's saying it's proportional. What does that mean? Well, to me, it's obvious. It means the minimum we should give is a tithe. That's the minimum portion. In the Old Testament, they gave to the temple. They gave even to the building of the tabernacle. They gave to God regularly what God desired from them. Some tithes, which they had to give, and many, many free will offerings they gave. Our giving is to be devoted to his service. Now, Paul's not telling the Corinthians or us to do this with a legalistic attitude. I want to be clear on that. But with a heart consumed with the mission of the kingdom of God. We give out a joy. We give out a love for the Lord. How? Well, I want to turn teacher for just a minute, and I know I've used this before, but it's the best passage to lay out the difference between these two. It's over in Malachi 3, 8 through 10, and it says this, will a man rob God? That's God asking the question. Yet you rob me, God says, but you ask, how do we rob you, God? Hey, God says this, you rob me in tithes and offerings. That's not my word. This is God's word. He says, you rob me in tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That's a key phrase. Back in the Old Testament days, and even in Jesus' days, there was a storehouse of grain, and they would bring their grain. Grain was their offering. It was a form of commissary between people, and they would bring that in, and they would build that up, and they would help people as they needed help, and they did it that way. Your storehouse today, I believe, is your local church. Many other pastors believe that. Many other Bible commentaries believe that. It's your local church. That's our storehouse. That there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you'll not have room enough for it. So, teacher, real quick, tithe, Hebrew word, mahasir. Okay, it means tenth part. It means actually first tenth. That's what tithe means. The very first tenth of all that you acquire should be set aside for the Lord. Okay? That's what that means. I don't know, we can't sugarcoat it. That's just what it means. Offerings. That's the word turamah. And this word means to heave. It means an oblation. Well, what's that mean? It means to pile up. That's what it means. An offering is way beyond a tithe. Okay? Way beyond. We'll talk about the word generously a little bit later. This is, you know, so like I said, this is God's word on this, folks. So we have to ask ourselves, are we going to trust God's word? Are we going to trust God's economic plan for our lives? Or are we concerned more about what people think of us so we go out and we spend on self? Remember that giving is not a pocketbook issue. Giving is a heart issue. It truly is. Giving is a heart issue. And so if you're sitting here this morning and you're feeling awful touchy about this, it may be guilt, but it may be conviction of the Holy Spirit. Only you can determine that. Let me ask this question, and show of hands. How many of you like challenges? How many of you like to be challenged with anything? Some of you do, some of you don't. I like challenges. It gives me something I can look to and work for. So I was hoping everybody would raise their hand, but so I'll challenge those of you who like to be challenged, but not everybody likes it. So here's a challenge. We've been talking about tithes, we've talked a little bit about offerings, but we have an internal need in our church. I mean, I love it that we can come together in this room and we can worship. It's awesome. I love that we've been able to get done what we can get done. But I just want to encourage us all to go into prayer, maybe even fasting, if that's what you need to do, and consider how we can just knock the rest of this building out. Let's just get this done. You know, I believe we could do that. Let's just get this done so we can focus on other things. Okay? Focus on other ministries. Because this thing is a little bit time consuming for many of us. And if we could all just maybe give sacrificially. And listen, I know because I hear people talk, not because I know anybody's finances, but there are folks who could give $50,000, $100,000 and get this thing done. There are folks that if they gave $100, it would tax them. Just pray about it. That's all I'm saying. We could get this done and we can move forward. It's a blessing what we have. I understand that. And it is. And we are blessed to be able to use this. Let's just get it done. Wouldn't it be nice just to have everything done? Yeah. Well, we can do it. Like I said, giving's not a pocketbook issue. It's a heart issue. And I'll show you in just a little bit. My goal as a pastor and our goal as a leadership team is to equip this body of Christ to live as disciples. And so if you're tithing or maybe you've matured past the tithe, great, keep it up. If you're not, then I want to challenge you to test God and trust God in this. Our desire as a leadership is to have 100% of our congregation tithing. Now, like I said, we haven't even talked about the offering yet, all right? But tithing, if we carried out God's plan, we would have a huge surplus. So we just need to trust God in this. Now, as a church, our giving has grown by over $7,000 a week in the last 14 years. Why? Because we teach about this, we're intentional about this, and people trust God. Okay? Paul had further instructions to the Corinthians in regard to their giving in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 7. He said this, and if you want to look over there, I'd encourage you to do that. He said, remember this. Paul said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Paul says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Now, this concept's nothing new at all. Farmers have known this truth for centuries. The more seed you sow, the more crop you get, unless you overseed, and that's a whole other thing. We won't go into all that. But I've been an advocate of tithing since the day I came to know Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. It was never an issue for me. I don't know why. It's just something that I feel like God laid on my heart. But tithing, it's never been that for me. Now, I've taught countless people that the tithe is where you start. It's where you start. It's not the end all be all. It's your starting line and you grow past it. So we just talked about the tithe. So let's make it practical real quick, because some people are going, I don't know what my tithe would be. Well, let me ask you this. I know you know what your paycheck is, right? So figure up what your annual income is real quick. We can do this in here if you want. I don't know. And everybody's different. But whatever your annual income is, just figure that up and multiply it by 10%. So here's some examples. If your income is $30,000 a year, and you and 10% of that is $3,000 a year, that's $250 a month, or that's $58 a week. And I did round up. I rounded up like 22 cents. So it's, you know, that's being generous. That's above the tithe. If you make $75,000 a year, because we don't all make the same. But if you make $75,000 a year, that's $7,500 a year. That's $625 a month. It's $144 a week. That's how you can figure that out. Maybe you're a person that makes $200,000 a year. 10% of that's $20,000 a year. What? I got to give $20,000 a year? Yeah, you're making $200,000. I think you'll be okay on your $180,000. Just like the person making $30,000, I think they're going to be okay on their $27,000. God thinks you will. That's why he says tithe. So that's $20,000 a year. It's $1,667 a month, or it's $384 a week. Make sense? I said that in the Old Testament, tithing is what we were called to do, and I have had countless people rebut me on that. They just want to argue about that. They'll say things like, but the New Testament doesn't say anything at all about tithing. Jesus never mentions tithing, not one time. How do you explain this, pastor, preacher? And some of them call me names that I won't use here when we talk about this. But tithing, it's an Old Testament teaching, and it's the beginning. And remember, Jesus called to live above the law, not below it. God, let's live above the law. It's a starting place, and if you're not careful, then it can become your stopping place. And for that reason, we must grow in our giving. And as you grow in your relationship with Christ, a natural response is to grow in your giving. When Paul uses the word generously in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we have to understand what he's saying. He uses the Greek word eulogios. And this word has deep roots in the Old Testament. So we have to understand Old Testament giving before we understand what Paul's talking about in the New Testament. But in the Jewish culture, in the Hebrew understanding, this word meant blessing. Now, I don't think we understand what a blessing is, but according to Loanita, this word means a large amount of something. It has the implication of blessing or benefit, large amount, abundance. That's what it means, okay? So for those who are thinking a tithe is prying way too deep into your personal finances, listen, Paul is saying, let's blow the tithe out of the water. That's the way we should be looking at this. But we got to take baby steps. We've got to get to where we're all tithing first. We're not there yet. And I know we're not, but I'll show you that in a little bit. But he's wanting us to blow the tithe out of the water. And now, as a local church, I think we do a pretty good job of giving. Many of you are very generous with your giving. And we have grown, like I said, in our giving to almost nearly $7,000 a week is what we've grown in. And we've been able to do a lot of ministry with that growth. But this doesn't mean that we've arrived. What it means is that we've grown and we know how to grow, but we still have room for more growth. Listen, the average churchgoer currently gives about 2.56% of his or her income, much less than the biblical mandate of a tithe, which is 10%. You can see that discrepancy, right? 7.5% almost. As a result, many churches are struggling to afford the cost of doing ministry, doing what God's called them to do. So let's see how we're doing as a church, shall we? Let's just see where we are. The average household income in Macomb, and so not everybody makes this, I understand that. I may say this number and you'll go, whoa, I don't make close to that. And some of you go, whoa, just one of us makes that. So that's why it's an average. But the average household income in Macomb is $55,428. That's household. That's not individual salary. That's, you know, however many people in your household, everybody bringing money in. So that's the average household income. So that's probably pretty close to the average household income of, I'd say, our congregation here at Maple Avenue. This is as of 2020, okay? And you can find it on worldpopulationreview.com based on census stuff, okay? So on average, a tithe would be $5,543 for, and I rounded up again, 22 cents. For some of you, that's way above what you can do, and for some of you, that's way below. That's why it's an average. So don't walk out feeling guilty, okay? That's not what I'm doing. Now, I asked Kinlan to check our records, and we have about 300 households in our congregation. I said, nah, we don't have 300 active households. So we looked again, and we have about 182 active households. Active households are people who come and do more than just consume. Active households are those who come and they serve in some way, they give, things like that. So we have 182 of them. And so just the quick math, you can see that in our giving, it should be, if we were all there, $1,008,862. Right now as a church, we have an annual budget over $500,000. So we're doing a lot better than the national average. National average, we'd be about $250,000. So we're doing a lot better, double what the national average is, but only half of what God's calling us to do. So we're doing a good job, but I think we need to do better. Listen, the Bible doesn't downplay this issue of giving. Never does the Bible downplay the issue of giving. A lot of people want to. A lot of preachers want to. A lot of preachers won't preach on it. But the Bible references it frequently because where your treasure is, where your heart is. What you focus on is where you are. It's not out of sight, out of mind at all by the biblical writers. It's not out of sight, out of mind at all by Jesus either. And listen, folks, it shouldn't be out of sight, out of mind by any one of us. So let me close with this. Do you see giving as ministry? Are you planning your giving? Are you accepting personal responsibility for your giving? Are you giving in proportion to your income? No one's going to force you to answer these questions or even think further about them. However, obedience issues that God lays out for us all are to adhere to all of these things. I want to ask you, if you would you stand and put your mask on, and let me close this with prayer. Father, we want to come to you, and first of all, we thank you for being an awesome God. We thank you for being a God who is very clear. We thank you for being a God who requires of your people, who challenge us to be the men and women that you desire for us to be. And so, God, my prayer is that each one of us would take seriously your word, and that we would be a church that is like Paul requires and requests of us, to be a giving church. And it starts with us. It starts with us individually. I thank you for a leadership that says, hey, let us model this. And I pray, God, that we as a church family would model this. Be with us and help us to live our lives in a way that brings honor and glory to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.